It's a blessing to see you all again. The woman at the well in Jesus engaged in a conversation with her. And during the course of that conversation, Jesus told her, "Ye worship, ye know not what." We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. And then he said, "I tell you of a truth, that you're not going to worship in this mountain, but true worshipers," Jesus called them true worshipers, meaning that you can worship falsely. "True worshipers," I said, God's a spirit, "and true worshipers must worship Him in spirit and in truth." Those are the two ingredients required for true worship. Now, I'm getting on up there in age. Some of you that are older than me are saying you're just a young buck. Appreciate it. How many of y'all have ever heard the term, "That's the gospel truth"? Y'all remember that? Raise your hand if you've heard that before. Oh, even some of the young ones have heard it. Amen. You know, it's been a long time since I heard it, though. Been a long time since I heard somebody say, "That's the gospel truth," in a conversation. When people said that's the gospel truth, what they were meaning was that just as the gospel is truth, so what I'm telling you is truth. You know, like, whatever, you know, she did that or he did that, that's the gospel truth. They were trying to lay a standard down that just as the gospel was true, so what I'm telling you is the truth. Now, what to understand, and folks don't even use that term anymore much. I haven't heard it in years. And the reason why is because few people know what the gospel is, and fewer still know what the truth is. Why would you talk about something that you had no idea about anyway? So, I think that it is imperative that we understand what both of those things are. The gospel is the good news of Jesus Christ. It is not the report of the news of Jesus Christ. The gospel, in its essence, is Jesus Christ and Him crucified, buried, and risen again. That is the essential gospel. And the gospel was preached before Jesus Christ came into the world. The gospel was preached by the prophets, by Moses, by Abraham, to Abraham, to Moses, and by the prophets, that He would come, the Messiah. That gospel was preached to them. That was good news to a weary soul in the Old Testament. And in the New Testament, Jesus preached the gospel of the kingdom. And the good news was that what you've been looking for these thousands of years is at hand. And I am here. I am here. That is the good news. The good news that Jesus Christ would be crucified and risen again the third day was, they didn't understand that until after it happened. And there are people that have reported many different things about the gospel. Y'all agree with that? There's a lot of different flavors of whatever folks say. But the gospel, preaching of the gospel, is the report of the good news. The gospel is not the good news. It's not the news. It is the good news. But it is not the news. Y'all got that? Just like if I read a newspaper from Africa, and I heard some good news about whatever happened in Africa, the newspaper that I read did not make whatever happened in Africa happen. It is a report of what happened. You got it. Now, that report might be a true report, or it might be a false report. Did y'all know that in the Bible, in the New Testament there, when Paul talked about those false prophets, talked about those false preachers that preached to the Galatian church another gospel, which is not another. And Paul's so strong about people reporting the gospel correctly that he said, if you don't do it correctly, let him be accursed. And he said it twice. Now, that's pretty strong, isn't it? That's pretty strong. The Bible is very strong if you read it. The Bible is not wishy-washy. The Bible takes the truth and it unashamedly and unreservedly declares the truth of God. Now, the truth is that God is sovereign. The truth is that He does whatever He pleases in the arms of... Ask Nebuchadnezzar, he'll tell you all about it. Whatever He pleases in the armies of heaven and in, among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay His hand nor say unto Him, what doest thou? Don't question God about what He's doing. Just deal with it and praise Him for it. Now, the gospel is the news. Jesus Christ came, manifest in the flesh, died, crucified, rose again the third day, and He's coming back. That's part of the good news too. He's coming back. But there's a lot of different reports of the good news. Now, I want to talk this morning. Hopefully I do more than talk. Hopefully I do some preaching this morning. Because there's a difference. Y'all know? There's a difference between talking and preaching. Now, I want to define what the world today considers truth. And I want to talk about that. We talked about the gospel already. I want to talk about truth for a minute. Because if something's the gospel truth, it's got to meet the definition of both things. Now, I don't ask New Antioch all that often to turn on their brain. Hopefully it's already turned on. But I want to ask y'all to turn your brain on for a minute. Merriam-Webster defines truth. Listen to this. The body of real things, events and facts, actuality, things that are actual. Listen to this one. A judgment, proposition, or idea that is true or accepted as true. Is it true just because you accept it to be true? This is what we got in our culture today. There are things that people accept as being true that are not true. And they're putting it out on Merriam-Webster that just because you accept something is true means it's true. That's not true. Your brain turned on yet? Y'all, this has far-reaching implications for our culture, our society, our worship, our daily lives. There's a lot of people that want to get you to accept and tolerate things because they want it to be true. It's not true, but they want you to accept it as truth. Just because you accept something, does that mean it's true? No. 2nd definition of belief, truth. The property of being in accord with the truth or facts or reality. That means you're in accord with it. You're jihawing with it. Y'all country folks know what that means. Y'all are going the same direction, hand in hand, and things are good. That means you're in accordance with the truth. Now, did y'all know that philosophers have been debating what truth was for thousands of years, and they still can't define or come into agreement about what truth is? They still can't do it. You want to go down a rabbit hole? Google what is truth, and your mind will start spinning. They put it in a lot of different categories, and they say that there's something called physical truth that has to do with the elements. They've got truth that's experienced, or experiential truth. Then they've got something called scientific truth. They've got things that are called emotional truth. And I mean, they've got a lot of different boxes that they put truth in, okay? Or that they discuss about truth. And they got to the point where they started thinking that, well, something that's true for me might not be true for you. And that led to the idea that cropped up in the early 20th century of moral relativism. Y'all ever heard of that term? You know what it means? It means that truth is relative to you. Is truth relative to me? That idea leads to the crazy thinking that, and you've all heard it, I know you have, in society today, Facebook, I don't care where it's at. At the office or your friends, they'll say, well, that's my truth. Have you heard that? What they're claiming is that what's true for me might not be true for you, and it's the idea that there's no absolute truth. Isn't that sad? That's the reason why they have come to this conclusion, is because there's no standard of truth. Got your brain turned on? I want you to turn your brain on. If there's no standard of truth, then it don't matter what you believe, because if it's true for you and not true for somebody else, then there is no standard of truth. And if there's no standard of truth, then nothing is true. And then you throw into the mix, just like Satan did. You know, it's a tactic of his. What did he deceive Eve by? He told her some truth, but he negated it by one word: thou shalt not surely die. Every other word that Satan said in that was true. Satan will attach himself to things godly and introduce deception in it. If something is 99% true. If something is 99% true and it's got 1% untruth in it, is it true? It cannot be said to be true. It can be said to be mostly true, but not all truth. Does truth matter? Truth matters. Oh, how truth matters. You see, the more very few people believe that there is an absolute truth or any absolute truths out there, and if they don't believe in absolute any absolute truths, then they don't believe in an absolute God. And if they don't believe in an absolute God, they're just in a whirlwind. You know, our society, what's wrong with us? We have left the truth. We have left God. We have left His Word. Jesus says, thy word is truth. There's a lot to be said about truth. You know, the Apostle Paul, just like Jesus did to the woman at the well, she was worshiping, but she wasn't worshiping in spirit and in truth. Now, the Apostle Paul on Mars Hill, y'all know the story. I hope you know the story. On Mars Hill, Paul was up there looking, watching them in their worship service, in their devotions. And they had all of those gods out there. You know, they had the busts in the Greek polytheism. They had the busts or statues of these gods. The God of running, the God of strength, and God of love, the God of, you know, had Venus and Aphrodite, and I don't know, all the different kind of gods that they worship. And just in case they forgot one, they didn't want to offend any of them, and so they made a shrine a bust or whatever, and they had an inscription on it that said, to the unknown God. Paul said, I'm telling you about the unknown God. You don't know Him, but I know Him. And I'm preaching him to you. Now, Paul didn't say that they were dumb for what they were worshiping. He said, "You, I beheld your devotions." Did you know you could be devoted to untruth? You can be devoted to things that are not true. Paul didn't get onto them for being devoted, but what their devotion was aimed at. There's a lot, just like the woman at the well was worshiping, but she wasn't worshiping in truth. These people were devoted to something, but they weren't devoted to the truth. My friends, God calls us to be devoted to the truth. And it's not going to do us any good to be devoted or to worship anything other than truth. Now, so truth, how do you tell if something's true or not? How do you tell? I'm going to use a scientific method. That's how scientists tell if something's true or not. Y'all know about the scientific method? Who knows what that means? One? Come on now. All right, let me tell you how it goes. A scientist, if he's going to come up with a hypothesis, that means an idea or a statement of like, I believe I've used this example before, I believe if I drop this water, I've already opened it, I don't know if it'll happen or not, but let's test it out. That's what a scientist does, he's going to test it out. I believe if I drop this water that the top's not going to come off. Okay. I tested it. My hypothesis has been proven to be true that time. That time. I heard it make a sound. I don't know if y'all felt it or not. I felt the vibrations. All the evidence was there for me to feel it and observe it. So science is going to test the variables. Y'all know what a variable is? If I had not opened it, that, and I tried it and it didn't come off, I would say, okay, let me see if it'll come off if I opened it. And I opened it and tried it again, then that variable was changed because I changed something about it. That's the variable. All variable is means it changes. So, a scientist will test their hypothesis in a lot of different environments, and if it's true or consistent, and they get consistent results, that leads to a theory. And theories, the longer they get tested and found to be consistent, that leads to a law. The law of gravity. Right? Now, science looks at all the variables and they control all the variables. And to a scientist, for something to be true, it must be observable and measurable. They've got to observe it. If a scientist can't observe something, they must admit that their findings are inconclusive at best. Are y'all hearing me today? Y'all got your brain turned on, or am I way out in left field here? Y'all follow me? Alright. So science says that if I can't feel it, if I can't touch it, if I can't see it, if I can't reproduce it, then it's not real. Wow. That's not shocking to me in terms of the world. Because I should have been born in Missouri. You know, Missouri is the show me state. You have to show me something before I can believe it. I don't believe hardly anything that I hear. I don't believe about half of what I see. How about y'all? I'm a skeptic by nature. I am. You must prove things to me. That's why I get in arguments with Sonia so much, because she tells me something. I was like, no, it ain't. I don't believe that. I got to see it. She tells me she did something, I'll go behind her and check it just to make sure it's so. Now, I've learned to trust her a little bit more than that over the years. How many of y'all like that? I want to go through some places in the scriptures about truth. You know, Jesus was in front of Pilate. The Jews delivered him to him, and he was questioning Jesus. And he asked Jesus, what have you done? He was wanting Jesus to give him an explanation of why they delivered him to them. He was seeking information. But, and Jesus says, let's turn over there. It is in, I believe, John 18 is where I want to go. All right. Verse 35. Pilate answered, am I a Jew? Thine own nation and the chief priests have delivered thee unto me. What hast thou done? Jesus answered, my kingdom is not of this world. That means it didn't originate here. If my kingdom were of this world, or if it were an earthly kingdom, like all the other earthly kingdoms, then would my servants fight that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence. Pilate therefore said unto him, art thou a king then? He talked about, you know, he had a kingdom. You know, kings, every king has a kingdom. And so, Pilate's pretty smart. He deducted that since Jesus says, my kingdom, he said, are you a king? Art thou a king then? Jesus answered, thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born. And for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness to the truth. Everyone that is of truth heareth my voice. Pilate saith unto him, what is truth? Pilate didn't know. Multitudes and multitudes of people still don't know what truth is. Pilate really didn't know. He was the Roman governor in that area. And his wife had had a dream about Jesus. And in that dream, it troubled her. And she went to her husband and said, "Have thou nothing to do with that just man." That was one voice he heard. And there was another voice that he heard, and it was all of those Jews down in the judgment hall crying, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" In one ear, his wife says, "He's a just man." And the others say, "Crucify him. He's a malefactor. If he weren't a malefactor, we wouldn't have delivered him unto you." And Pilate says, "What is truth?" He doesn't know. Do you know? Do you know the truth? With the truth goes a lot of different things. You may have even asked yourself the question, what is truth? How many of y'all have ever done that? I have. What is truth? You can listen to CNN, ABC, NBC, CBS, Newsmax, Fox, One American News, and every one of them reporting about the same thing has vastly different views, don't they? What is truth? I submit to you that neither one of them is reporting all the truth and nothing but the truth. Neither one. Any of them. My daddy used to tell me, "Son, there's two sides to every nickel." You know, in an argument, I would say one thing and my brother would speak up and he would plead his cause. "Well, you didn't do that." "Okay. I did." You know, my daddy said, "Boys, there's two sides to every nickel." That means that you listen to one person and you're like, "Oh, well, I believe that." And then you hear somebody else talk about the same thing and they say, "Well, that makes sense too." Two sides, two perspectives of every nickel. And I added this as I've gotten older. You know, y'all have seen a nickel. I mean, some kids might not have nowadays. They're flat and round. And they're about that thick. You got one side, it's easily seen. You got to turn it over, you got the other side, it's easily seen. Two sides to every nickel. But you know, the truth is somewhere along that thin edge. What is truth? And what do you believe about the truth? Or do you believe the truth? Let me ask you a question. If you believe something to be true, does that make it true? Y'all, I want you to think about this stuff because it matters. It matters for you daily in your life. If somebody comes up and tells me something, I'm a skeptic, so I'm always going to question it. I don't just take things at face value. But just because I believe something is true doesn't make the thing that they're talking about true or false. Belief lets me know where I stand, and it's my opinion based on the facts that I have or that were given to me. Now, when you read the Bible, this is a big subject, y'all. We're not going to exhaust it today. first to even understand the truth, you must have knowledge of something. Knowledge is knowing the facts. Belief is your opinion about the facts. Now, but belief doesn't make something true or not true. Your belief about something doesn't change the facts. Now, to believe, well, okay, let's define belief. What is belief? It's to accept or regard something as true. That's what belief is. To accept the word or evidence, there's that evidence, of what is said by someone. It's to have an opinion. Belief doesn't make something true or untrue. It does not change the facts. It is just a statement of, it states your opinion with regard to the facts. Y'all got that? Belief lets everybody know where you stand concerning the facts. Now, to believe something, you must have knowledge first. Would y'all agree with that? Knowledge is to understand the facts and to have that information. All right. Knowing the facts. That's knowledge. Belief refer. Y'all get this because this is imperative that we understand this. Belief is, it refers to being persuaded that the facts are true. I'm going to say it again. Belief is being persuaded that the facts are true. Faith is trusting that the facts will be upheld without question. That's the difference between belief and faith. Do y'all believe in God? Do you? Do you have faith in God? Do you believe that God's word will be upheld without question? Amen. Do you believe that He will take care of you without question? Amen. He said, take no thought for tomorrow. He said, sufficient to the day is the evil thereof. You worry about today. How many of y'all worry about things that are going to happen? I don't. I'm not saying I'm not concerned about things. But things don't bother me the way that they do a lot of other people. I don't know why. But I think it has something to do with this. Did you know that the working definition of faith is God had promised Abraham something? He promised him a lot of things. God promised Abraham that he was going to bring forth, that he was going to have a son that came forth out of his own loins. Abraham's in his late 70s. He reaffirms it at 80. But he doesn't do it for 20 more years. And Paul says that that what Abraham believed, that what God had promised, he was also able to perform. He didn't know how it was going to happen. The Bible says he regarded not his own self and nor the deadness of Sarah's womb. He knew God was God and that God could do it and that He would do it. That's a big difference. Belief is more of God's able to do it. Faith is believing that He will do it unfailingly. This is a big subject, isn't it? I hope I've stirred your minds, whetted your appetite to learn a little bit more about truth and about faith. I ain't even got to my text yet. I want us to remember God. I'm just going to talk about it for a little while, some of it. Do you know when God told and called Moses out? He said, Moses, you're going to lead my people out of bondage. And Moses said, they're not going to believe me, God. And he said, what you got in your hand there, Moses? As Moses said, rod. And God said, throw it down on the ground. He threw it down on the ground and became a snake, a serpent. It scared Moses. It scared me too. God said, take it up by the tail. And he grabbed it by the tail. I bet he was doing like this. Grabbed it by the tail and it became a staff again. He said, what if they don't believe this? He said, put your hand in your vest or in your coat. He put his hand in there and he said, take it out again. And he brought it out and it was white as snow with leprosy. And he said, put it back in again. He put it back in again. He said, take it back out again. He took it back out again. It was restored just like it was. His leprosy was gone. And he said, what if they don't believe that? And he said, I tell you, if they don't believe the first one or the second one, you could take up some water out of the river over there and you pour it on the ground and it's going to turn to blood on the ground. God was showing Moses that he had given him evidences that he was who he said he was and he would do what he said he was going to do. And that these are the signs that you show my people Israel so that they know I'm God. Evidence. You remember the scientific method. They want evidence about stuff. If you can't bring evidence, they don't even want to hear about it. And I want to say this about science real quick before I move on into the other stuff. What is theology? Theology is the study of the Creator. What is science? True science, not that false science. What is true science? True science is the science, or it's the study of the creation. The elements, all the things that were created. Theology and science are should jihal and support one another. You've got one that studies the Creator and one that studies the creation. They're going to be consistent with one another when both of them are right. But what false science tries to do, they study the creation trying to disprove that there's a Creator. All right, I'm done with that. Now, so think about, when you think about science, you think about what the motivation is for them to even be studying stuff. I want us to move on in to Thomas, Doubting Thomas. Yep, I got too much. All right, y'all remember in 2 we're gonna leave Thomas for a minute. Y'all remember Elisha, and he had a servant. And I believe it was the Syrians came, and they were surrounding where they were. And the servant, Elisha's servant, got up, and he woke up in the morning, and he saw all that army of the Assyrians all surrounding them. That's what it means when you find come across the word compassed. How many degrees is a compass? 360. They were compassed about. That means the army had surrounded them all the way around. And Elisha's servant said, "Alas, master, how shall we do? How are we going to get out of this, master?" He was scared. I would be too, wouldn't you? Elisha wouldn't. Elisha told him, "Son, don't worry about it. There's more with us than there are with them." And the servant said, "You crazy old man. What are you talking about? How could you say there's more with us than there are with them? They're surrounding us." And Elisha prayed and said, "God, open his eyes." And God opened his eyes and he saw chariots of fire. Now that servant couldn't see the evidence of the chariots of fire and God's host. Did his unbelief make them not there? No, not at all. Not at all. Didn't change the truth one bit. I guarantee you he was glad and happy when he found out the truth, though, wasn't he? Doubting Thomas. Y'all know the story? I hope you know the story. Because this is real. This is exactly what we're talking about today. Thomas. He was not with the 12 when they came, for Mary Magdalene came from the sepulchre and reported that Jesus was alive. All the 12 thought that what Mary Magdalene had reported was an idle tale. And Peter and John ran and found it to be so. But they didn't have proof yet. Oh, Mary Magdalene had proof, didn't she? She thought it was a gardener. But that wasn't true, was it? She thought he was a gardener, but that wasn't true. It was the Lord of glory. And when he called her Mary, God opened her eyes. You see who does that action, don't you? God does that action. He called her by name and he opened her eyes. And she saw him, and then she fell at his feet and worshipped him. She goes back and tells the 12, or tells the 11, or 10 at this point, because Judas is gone. And their words, the women's words, seemed to the men as idle tales. And then Peter and John run, and they find the tomb to be empty, but yet no proof. And they wondered greatly at all that. And then they got back and said, "Can this be true? Can this be true?" And they told Peter, they told Thomas about the tomb being empty and Jesus being risen again. Do you know what Thomas said? Thomas said, "If I don't see the print of the nails in his hands, and I don't stick my finger in that hole, and I don't thrust my fist in the side of his belly, I will not believe. I will not." This is one of Jesus' followers. This is an apostle of our Lord Jesus Christ that said, "I will not believe unless I see the evidence." Y'all got it? He's looking for the scientific method to prove Jesus Christ was resurrected. Now, did Thomas's unbelief change the fact that Jesus was resurrected? Not a bit. Didn't. If he'd have believed it, it wouldn't have changed the fact that he was resurrected. It would have done him a lot of good if he did. Saved him from a lot of grief and trouble if he believed the truth. But he didn't. He needed evidence. And then, the next time that all the disciples were gathered together, Jesus appeared in the midst of them. And y'all know he ate fish to prove that it wasn't a spirit. And then Jesus comes to Thomas, let's turn over a few pages of John 20. Well, we're in Exodus last time. I'm sorry. All right, John 20. I'm almost done, y'all. No, I'm not, but I'm gonna quit in a minute. John chapter 20, verse 26. And after 8 days, again his disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Then, y'all know my middle name's Thomas. My mother and father rightly named me. Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, "Peace be unto you." Then said he to Thomas, "Reach hither thy finger and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless but believing." Jesus gave Thomas some information. He said, "Thomas, if you need to go through the scientific method to have all the evidence and to experience it for yourself, because truth is not about just your experience. I want y'all to get that. Just because you haven't experienced something doesn't mean it's not true." Jesus said, "If you need all this, Thomas, you come. Here it is. Here's the holes. Here's, thrust your hand in my side. Put your fingers in the print of the nail, into my hands. If you need that evidence, here it is." Thomas fell down. He said, "My Lord and my God." It's not recorded that he ever did it. He had seen it. He needed a little bit more proof than some of the others did. And that's true for all of God's children. Some people need more proof than others that something is true. I don't understand that, but they do. He says, "My Lord and my God." Listen to what Jesus responds. And Jesus saith unto him, "Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet believed." What do you think about that? What did Jesus just say there? Jesus said that there are people that aren't going to have the physical evidence that you had before your face, and those people are going to believe in lieu of the evidence that you see. That's each one of you. That's each one of you. Who believes? I believe. Has somebody just convinced me that something's true? Yeah. No. He said, yeah. There's a lot of people that will convince you about the truth, but it might not be true. This is something that you experience, but you don't experience by a man. You experience it by God. Jesus says, "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." How do you know the truth? God does it. You know, He said, "I'm going to make a new covenant in those days where they shall not teach every man his neighbor, saying, 'Know the Lord,' for all shall know me, from the least to the greatest." God gives that knowledge to His children. He does it by the supernatural power that He possesses. He does it by His sovereignty. I want us to think about truth, because it matters. I want us to think about faith, because it matters. I want us to think about I want you to gain knowledge, because it might just change your beliefs. You know, my beliefs have changed over the years because I gained more knowledge about this word. Views that I held when I was young, I don't hold now. Because a lot of them were traditions and what I'd been brought up in. Sonny and I were talking about traditions yesterday. That's one reason why the Jews couldn't believe in Jesus Christ. That's why they didn't believe in Jesus Christ. One reason. The Bible talks about us being prepared of God in order to believe. It's a big subject. I want us to remember. If you don't remember anything else, I want you to remember that knowledge comes first. And then belief. Belief lets everybody else know where you stand concerning the facts. And that faith is your trust in the facts being consistent without fail. And that God not only is able to perform His promises, but that He will perform His promises. He said He's coming back. Y'all believe that? Do you have faith that God's going to make good on His promise? I do. I know He's coming back. We could keep going on and on and on, couldn't we? Let's be a blessing to someone today. And let's think about what we say with our mouth. Whether it is in accord with God's word, God's truth, or whether it's just something we're spouting out of our mouth. Because that matters. More of what you say every day start to develop in the minds of people. You know, you have much more influence on people than you realize. Things that you post on Facebook, things that you talk around a water cooler, comments that you say at school, at home, among your friends, they matter. They matter to God. And they ought to matter to you. May God bless you this week to be live your life in honor to the truth and in honor to God, because God is truth. May God bless you, is my prayer. Doors of church are open for reception of members. Should any have the desire to join our company here, worship God in spirit and in truth, we trust, every Sunday. You have a song? Number 398. 398.